DeLuca. Mr. Fox.
May it please the court, counsel. I represent Maria Zarante, plaintiff appellant in this matter. My name is Terry Fox. This case arises out of Maria Zarante's termination on May 8th of 2003 as an employee of the City of Chicago Heights workforce. It occurred three business days after the installation of a new mayor, Anthony DeLuca. This action was brought at the district court below to assert a claim for violation of First Amendment rights, particularly retaliation for political association or lack thereof. The district court granted summary judgment for the defendants below on approximately January 16th of 2008, and the basis for the decision was that under the view of the court below, there was no material issue of fact with respect to whether or not Ms. Zarante could establish that there was causation between her political exercise or lack thereof and her subsequent termination. The court also had for a second basis for its ruling.
I assume you mean that her employment was terminated. I don't think she has been terminated.
I'm sorry. Yes, Your Honor, that's correct. The second basis, Your Honor, for the court's decision below was that notwithstanding or irrespective of the prima facie case with respect to Maria Zarante, the court held that it would have been reasonable for the City of Chicago Heights, and particularly Mr. DeLuca and his chief of staff, Dan Proft, to have terminated Maria Zarante, notwithstanding.
You still don't get it, do you?
Terminated her employment position. Your Honor, Maria Zarante was employed at the City of Chicago Heights as a purchasing agent. She had one other employee within her department. After her termination, she was termination of employment, Your Honor. Thank you.
It's easier to say she was fired.
Right.
One shot. Mm-hmm.
Your Honor, after Ms. Zarante was fired from the City of Chicago Heights, she was replaced by the campaign manager for Mr. DeLuca's mayoral campaign of 2003, Matthew Ferris. The record is clear in this case that Matthew Ferris had no municipal purchasing experience. He had some background with respect to a family-owned business. He actually had some service within a Secretary of State driver's license facility within Chicago Heights in which he did no purchasing. And he also had employment with an aluminum arbitrage firm who bought and sold non-ferrous metals from Eastern Europe into the United States, including GM and Briggs & Stratton.
Now, your client actually voted for the mayor, right?
That is correct, Your Honor.
Doesn't
she
that
did.
By itself defeat your claim?
Your Honor, the evidence developed during discovery in this case clearly shows that neither Mr. Proft nor Anthony DeLuca, at the time the decision to terminate her employment was made, knew of who she supported or voted for in the secret ballot in which she cast on or about April 2nd of 2000.
And apparently that was stipulated to as well. Then how can this be a political discrimination claim if the mayor and the chief of staff who fired her didn't know of her political views?
Your Honor, you raise a good point. This case is a slight variant out of the norm from the jurisprudence of the Seventh Circuit with respect to political retaliation claims. And the reason that it's outside the norm is this is essentially a political bumping case in which my client was terminated from her position of employment at Chicago Heights to make room for Mr. DeLuca's campaign manager, Matthew Ferris. We know that that's true because of the fact that Mr. Ferris was offered one or two positions in city government after the election. He chose the purchasing position. We also know this because Mr. Proft, when he sat down with Ms. Zarante at about 10:30 a.m., on May 8th of 2003, told her, when asked, is my performance satisfactory, to which Mr. Proft said, it's fine. That's not the issue, or words to that effect. She asked, she made further statements and asked if she was supposed to train her replacement. And Mr. Proft's response was, no, we owe this person consideration and we know this person. The statement that we owe this person consideration, I put to the court, provides, at the very least, a question of fact before a jury whether or not Mr. Proft was saying, we have to give this guy a position because he helped us out in the campaign for which he wasn't paid. At no time did the DeLuca administration conduct any reasoned and thorough investigation into Ms. Zarante's performance or lack of performance within the purchasing department of Chicago Heights under the old regime or the former regime of Angelo Cimbroni, who had served in the position since 1995 until the time that he relinquished office, not seeking re-election in 2003. What they did, and by they I mean defendants DeLuca and Proft, what they did was had Daniel Proft, who's the chief of staff, in the one-month period between the election and the swearing-in, talk to one person within city government. That person was not Ms. Zarante's supervisor. Her supervisor was Paulnita Reese. Instead, Mr. Proft spoke to the city treasurer, Ms. Joan Bauer. Mr. Proft, in his deposition, testified...
Yes, who?
Joan Bauer.
How do you spell it?
B-A-U-E-R.
Lovely way to spell it.
Thank you, Your Honor. In a conversation that lasted approximately 45 minutes, covering various departments, Mr. Proft asked Joanne Bauer whether or not Maria Zarante could perform at the expectations of the incoming administration, to which Mr. Proft contends Ms. Bauer told him, Maria Zarante is one of my friends, and I don't want to say anything bad. Ms. Bauer has testified under oath in discovery of the underlying in the district court. Ms. Bauer doesn't recall ever speaking to Dan Proft before.
I don't understand what any of this has to do with Elrod. I mean, this sounds like the kind of argument you would make to a labor arbitrator under a contract requiring cause for discharge. But we aren't labor arbitrators. What is the proof that the defendant held Zarante's politics against her? And I have something of Judge Sykes' question. If they didn't know her politics, it's hard to imagine they could hold it against her. But that's your obligation as plaintiff, to provide proof that the defendants held her politics against her. So what's your best proof of that?
My best proof is they fired her within 3 days after the election. She's a member of the former regime, which is Democratic, and new Republican members coming in. They made statements.
Did they run on the Republican-Democratic ticket?
It was non-political, but they are sponsored.
Well, that again, you know, I come from an area with 34 cities and villages, none of which run on a Republican or Democrat. And they find people from each party in various places. But the place is overwhelmingly one particular party on a national level.
Yes.
So I don't understand your argument. The fact that they happen to be members of a national political party apart from the municipality, that carries over to the municipality itself.
During the briefing of this case, it was stipulated by defendants that everyone knew that Mayor Cimbroni was.
The same is true every place else. The fact that you know it doesn't mean. The mayor of Wheaton for years and years was a Democrat. Everybody knew it, but she kept getting elected. She was not running on a Democratic ticket. Had she run on a Democratic ticket, she would have lost. You're reading something into it that I can't find there. Everybody stipulates that, yes, they have a political position on the national level. They voted for one party or another, and that's perfectly acceptable. But that doesn't carry over to the municipality under anything I have found in this record.
I agree, Your Honor, with respect to these particular nonpartisan elections. They were sponsored back and forth by the various parties, but people did cross party lines. Getting back to the question of Judge Easterbrook, which was, does Ms. Zarante go beyond the labor arbitration setting and into the First Amendment setting and prove up her case for political retaliation under 1983 or the First Amendment? The fact that she's fired 3 days afterwards, she's a member of the former regime, that she's told that the other person is installed because they owe him consideration, the fact that the person that takes her place has no experience in municipal purchasing, the fact that that person's paid $45,000 more than she was, and the fact that he is the campaign treasurer, I believe, in and of itself, I respectfully submit to this tribunal, raises an inference for which, under the mosaic of factors in this case would allow a jury to conclude that she was fired at the very least to make way for a position.
That suggests that she would have been fired totally without regard to her politics. Somebody who says, I'm being fired to make way for the new mayor's pal, is saying it doesn't matter what my politics were. And that sounds like you almost plead yourself out of court.
Your Honor, the position is that Ms. Zarante was fired for being apolitical, and under Rutan and the progeny of this court, I respectfully submit that we do not plead ourselves out of court, particularly with respect to Hall versus Babb, I believe it is, 389 Fed 3rd, 758, 7th Circuit, 2004. In this particular case, there was an IDOT position that was open, and there were two candidates, both of whom were Republican, one contending apparently that he was more Republican than the next, or vice versa. And in any event, the court affirmed summary judgment in that case because there was a separate interview panel that never conferred amongst themselves, and there was absolutely no knowledge of any of the actual interviewees that they knew who was connected politically to the Republican Party or who wasn't out of the list of candidates. The court says at 765, we conclude as a matter of law that the protection afforded by the Rutan principle applies to distinction based on relative degree of support for a particular party. And we also go to, I believe it is, Kitty Brown versus Blagojevich, 408 Fed 3rd at 346, particularly at 354. The court in that case is considering a motion for judgment on the pleadings denied based on qualified immunity, and the defendants took an appeal on that. But with respect to the argument asserted by the defendants that this Decatur warden could not be thrown out of office based on her politics, the court quotes Rutan versus Republican Party of Illinois, states, quote, public employees need to show only that they were discharged because they were not affiliated with or sponsored by a certain political party. We go back a little closer to home to Malazzo versus O'Connell, which is found at 151 Fed 3rd, 587, 7th Circuit, 1998, in which the human resources director of the circuit court or the human resources director of the chief judge is terminated because she couldn't come up with a political sponsor. And in that particular decision, the court there said she cannot be fired for lack of political sponsor. Ms. Zarante should not have been fired for lack of political sponsor, especially when you consider that she was replaced with a campaign chair, treasurer of Mr. DeLuca, and also had no municipal experience. Thank you very much. I reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Fox. Mr. O'Connell.
May it please the court. Judge Gatzel had the same problem, Your Honor, as you, Your Honor, Judge Easterbrook and Judge Sykes had. If you can't show that the defendants knew of the political support or of the affiliation or of any of the activities, then you don't get to first base in a political retaliation case. And that's what Judge Gatzel found. And before this court, in the opening brief of Ms. Zarante, or in the reply, or in the oral argument, Mr. Randy has not indicated anything to show what knowledge the defendants had of her political support. In fact, as we pointed out in our brief, and which has still not been responded to, despite Your Honor's questions, Zarante stipulated below as undisputed that DeLuca did not know whom Maria Zarante supported in the 95, 99, the 2003 elections, and that's at paragraph 36 of our 56.1 statement, and didn't know of her political affiliation, didn't know of her political activities, had never even had a conversation with Ms. Zarante. Similarly, in the next paragraph of this 56.1, it was stipulated as undisputed that Dan Proft had no personal knowledge whom Zarante supported in the 2003 mayoral election or of her political affiliation. So under the case law that this court has entered, basically under Hall versus Babb, under Kusin Cobb, under Garrett, under the Nelms case, all require first, in order to show political retaliation, did the defendants know of the plaintiff's political affiliation, her support or activities. In this case, there's not even an issue. There's no genuine issue of material fact because it's been undisputed. So under that basis alone, Judge Gottschall rightfully, properly granted summary judgment, and that's precisely the questions that Your Honors asked Mr. Fox, and which still has not been responded to because it can't be, because it's undisputed. Mr. Fox indicated that he said that this case sort of falls outside the norm. Well, it falls outside the norm because there's no dispute as to the knowledge. In the reply brief, Mr. Randy's counsel wants to indicate, seems to carve out an exception to knowledge, that he says it doesn't fall within the paradigm of the Seventh Circuit cases. We think it falls precisely within the paradigm of Seventh Circuit cases, which require knowledge. He indicates in his reply brief that that it's not fair or it shouldn't be right, that you shouldn't have to look into the inside of the defendant's head in order to show knowledge. Well, that's just, unfortunately for him, that's what this court has required.
Jimmy Durante had a great statement with that. He said, "Them are the conditions what prevail."
I'm sorry, Judge.
I say Jimmy Durante had a great line for that. He said, "Them are the conditions what prevail."
Those are the conditions that prevail, Judge. That precisely it.
Better keep talking.
I don't think that Your Honors need to go any further other than to look at that element that is surprisingly has been undisputed and in which there is no response.
The 14th time you said it was undisputed. If it's undisputed, why are we yakking about it?
You know,
you're doing the yakking.
I guess I'm doing the yakking.
Yeah.
So, in any event, Your Honors, even if you set aside those admissions, there's no indication that that political support, of which they weren't aware, was the reason that they terminated. The fact that Mr. Ferris, who had been selling millions of dollars.
What Bowers saying is that although you have 15 minutes, there's no legal obligation to use it all.
I understand, Judge. For those reasons, Judge, as we said, we think that the district court's opinion should be affirmed. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anything further, Mr. Fox?
Yes, Your Honor.
Mr. O'Connell is certainly clear. There is no dispute about the defendant's knowledge of my client's political activities, and I'm not going to stand in front of you and say that there's a shred of anything in the record, except that their lack of knowledge also is probative here. They don't see her at their campaign headquarters. She doesn't give money to them. She never goes out on the campaign trail with them. However, her replacement does.
That probably encompassed about 95% of the people in the community. So, I mean...
Your Honor, with respect to decisions outside this circuit, in Galley versus New Jersey Meadowlands Commission, for example, a new administration came in a month later. A director of environmental education was terminated. She was apolitical. She didn't do anything. No one knew her to be a supporter. Under those particular scenario, in that particular scenario, based on statements that the commission was going in a new direction, there was no reference to job performance. The court in that situation reversed summary judgment for the defendants, finding that she did in fact have a cause of action for being apolitical. I submit to this court that if Maria Zarante does not have a cause of action based on these facts under the First Amendment for political protection, that political patronage will continue unabated in Illinois because anyone can be moved out at any time for political patronage hires. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. Our fourth case for argument this